Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet. I'm Matty the Fan. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors take care of business, winning by a score of 126 to 113 against a Lakers team that, they were so shorthanded to the point where it wasn't even competitive. It made it not uninteresting because obviously I don't want to discount the Raptors' effort. Obviously, the Raptors came out really strong, was up 11 to nothing. And just kind of pushed the lead bigger and bigger from there and just kept the Lakers at a comfortable distance the entire way, even though it wasn't necessarily always the smoothest, especially on the offensive end for the Raptors. But yeah, the Lakers just, okay, so LeBron's out for the game, right? He got an ankle issue. Then AD was sick in the previous game of the Cavs, second half of back-to-back on the road. So they're sitting out, right? I didn't even see AD in the building. Maybe they just sent him home or something. But LeBron was there on the sideline. You know, even Patrick Beverley was out. He's not like he's playing that much better, but at least he could come in and be annoying or something. Like the Lakers starting lineup, I don't remember how many times in the league you ever see this, especially in a game in December for a team that's not actually tanking. But the Lakers starting lineup had four guys making the minimum. And then Lonnie Walker the fourth, who is at the, you know, taxpayer mid-level, $6 million-ish, right? So when you look at the whole entire lineup, it was like 15, like the whole entire lineup made less than OG and Anunoby, which is, again, I'm not trying to check these guys' wallets or anything. I just mean, like, status-wise, like, that's what was available for the Raptors to play against tonight. And, you know, obviously one of the big storylines this season was, Westbrook coming off the bench. He's been effective in that role. Well, I was surprised he didn't get promoted into the starting lineup. I mean, like, when your starting five is Juan Toscano-Anderson, Thomas Bryant, Dennis Schroeder, Austin Reeves, and then Lonnie Walker the fourth, why not start him? I mean, Lonnie Walker was a minus 37. That's hard to believe, but it's true. So right away, you kind of knew how this game was going to be. The Raptors were going to have a lot of advantages. And, to their credit, they came out and they had a strong effort and they just kept pushing and pushing the lead. And to the point where, you know, the game kind of became uncompetitive. I mean, look, it's not like the Lakers just folded. They still had an energetic push at certain times. You know, Westbrook came off the bench, he didn't really come off the bench. Like he was subbed into the game like 2 minutes into the first quarter and then 2 minutes into the third quarter, right? So like realistically he kind of started this game, but ultimately like he was able to get inside and cause some havoc and obviously drive the ball. He missed a shocking number of layups, but again, that's not a surprise, I suppose. And honestly, at times, like the Lakers did get out and transition and scored a little bit here or there. I mean, they did have a 31-point quarter. They had a 38-point quarter. But for the most part, the Raptors were very comfortable in this game. They kind of knew what the assignment was at hand. And they just went ahead and took care of business. You know, I thought the start of the game, again, was really positive, right? One of the big things, you know, coming in was like, can Fred get out of the shooting slump? Can Fred find some rhythm in this game? This is a good opportunity here against the Lakers, obviously shorthanded, but not just shorthanded, but they have matchups for Fred to attack. Dennis Schroeder is not a strong defensive player. You can attack him. You can go at Kendrick Nunn. You can go at Russell Westbrook. You can go at, you know, a number of these guys, Austin Reeves, if you really wanted to, right? Like there's options for Fred to sort of go off a little bit. Bryant is a drop center. Damian Jones is a center who plays mostly in drop. Like, you have chances to sort of attack and go to work. And, you know, it was a strong start for Fred. Had a pull-up three to start the scoring for the Raptors. Then Fred gets inside the paint and then kicks out to Pascal for a three. I just thought Fred did a good job tonight of playing his game. I mean, it was to the point where it was a little too much in terms of the shooting, but ultimately, at the same time, you also understood, right? He had the advantage. He had the mismatches. He had the chances. And honestly, on a bigger scale thing, it's just he's been struggling, right? You do want to see a situation where he's able to sort of find his rhythm again. And the one thing I like today, I mean, even the shooting is still off, right? I think the thing that Nick pointed out about the fact that the tracker is showing that, you know, he's missing his shots left and right, which is rare for him. Fred's always lined up his shot really nicely. It's usually short or long, but it doesn't go left or right. But right now, you do see a lot of the trajectories of the ball going left or right. It's even noticeable just watching the flight of the ball. I mean, it really helps to be on the 600 level for that because you can really see the arc. But yeah, he's still not shooting the three all that well, 3 of 12. But, you know, it was a game where Fred was actually pretty effective going inside. I mean, 6 of 8 from two-point range for Fred is quite high for him. And he had, like, a couple plays where he turned it over on drives, which is, you know, a little surprising. One, he just fell over. I'm not sure if there was an uncalled foul or something, but just kind of tripped in the lane. You don't see that very often from him. But for the most part, I thought he actually did a really good job using his crossovers and just actually getting by his man. I think that's one of the big concerns I've seen, you know, this season. And I guess even after the All-Star break last year, was he just wasn't able to consistently get past his guy, even with the screen or off the dribble or whatever, attacking a closeout. He just wasn't effectively getting past his guy that much. But today I thought he did a really good job using his crossover, using his handles, getting into the paint, scored a floater, which is always nice to see. Hopefully that's, you know, going to be consistent for him. But we've also said that for like 3 years. So, you know, kind of not holding out hope on that front. But crossovers to draw fouls on Austin Reeves, crossover reverse finish at the rim around Thomas Bryant, which was actually a really nice play. He kind of like drove right and then stepped through going left and then put it reverse off the glass. It was really nice to see, you know, another crossover for a little flip shot. So even though the three is not necessarily going for him, I like the way Fred was able to get into the lane. And yeah, even in the plays where he's able to drive and kick out was strong. Again, relative to recent performances, this is a really good one for Fred. So it's a sign of good things to come, hopefully. But at least for now, in terms of just thinking about how to get Fred back on track, I think, you know, maybe not the matchup will favor him all the time to get by his man and attack. I mean, the Lakers have small guards. Many teams in the league nowadays don't play that many small guards. So there's not going to be that many great advantages to slashing and getting into the paint. But ultimately, it was good to see Fred, like, just not struggling for once. And it was kind of up and down. Like, he started really hot, then he went cold for a while, then he got hot again. Thought the end of the third quarter, Fred had a really nice push. But, you know, still, this is a step in the right direction, and I don't think there's too many complaints about this. And I'm sure some people will still pick at him shooting 20 shots, and, you know, that is still 40% from the field. And, you know, his three-point shooting was not that strong in this game. I get it, right? But to be honest, most of these were pretty good open looks, aside from a couple drives where, he turned it over in traffic. Like, you know, this was a pretty solid game for Fred, and it's a step in the right direction. So that was nice to see. I thought Pascal kind of just could get offense whenever he really wanted to, you know, whether that was him getting early seals in the post, you know, in transition, or him setting up in the post and attacking one-on-one matchups. Like, it was kind of easy for him. The only stretch I thought it looked a little bit clunky was in the second half, where the Lakers had basically committed themselves to playing zone. I mean, not just in the second half, but even in the first half, I think, like, maybe after the first or second timeout, you know, maybe 3-4 minutes into the game, the Lakers are already settled into a zone, because they knew they couldn't guard a lot of these matchups one-on-one. Like, they didn't have somebody to guard Pascal one-on-one. They didn't even have someone to guard Scotty one-on-one. They didn't have someone to guard OG one-on-one. Even Fred was beating them all the time, right? So, you know, there were all these sort of opportunities. And so that actually made the Raptors sort of play a little bit more in terms of the team basketball. But ultimately, like, I didn't think that there weren't too many plays where they didn't look for each other, right? I thought Pascal was able to score, finished easily throughout the game, you know. But at the same time, there were opportunities where the Raptors couldn't move the ball well enough against the zone, and guys had to sort of settle in and take some late shots. Pascal was certainly no exception there, because obviously he and Fred are the guys who they look to late clock to generate something. But no real complaints, I would say, from Pascal in terms of his specific approach. Again, like, almost a triple-double, 25 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. Lots of kickouts that ultimately weren't made. I mean, you even consider a game like this where, I think in the first half, my major takeaway, and maybe it looks a little different on the film, but the impression overall that I got in the first half was that the Raptors, I don't even think they took 5 bad shots. Like, it was that kind of easy for them to sort of break down the defense. But at the same time, when you looked at the percentages, the Raptors are still shooting 44% from the field. And at the end of the game, they're shooting 44% from the field, 28% from three. And so many of these are wide open looks. And when you look at OG going 2 of 8, when you look at Fred going 3 of 12, when you're looking at Gary shooting 2 of 9, that's where the thing has to improve. Like, these guys are getting mint wide open looks. And it wasn't like they were committing so much defensively or being asked to do so much defensively that they didn't have any legs. It's just the shots just weren't dropping for them. The process was good. Pascal's driving and kicking. Scotty making the extra passes. I thought he had a really nice game with his passing. You know, Fred driving and kicking. These guys just weren't able to knock it down, though. And these are your best shooters, right? Even Chris Boucher makes a couple of looks in the corners. Although he was 2 of 5, you can't really expect too much better than that, I guess. But the looks were wide open. They just couldn't knock those down. And it really encouraged the Lakers to settle into that little zone that they were playing. I mean, at no point did I really think the Lakers are going to come back and win this game or even make this game tough. But at the same time, like, you know, the Raptors against an opponent that has more facilities or just more ability, I suppose, to even punish them at all on the other end. You know, this game would have been trouble. And if I'm watching this game and I'm the Orlando Magic and I'm scouting the Raptors, you know, for their upcoming, you know, back-to-back series, I would be playing tons of zone with that length, right? Because it looks like the Raptors really just couldn't get open or couldn't knock down open looks. And I think in the first half, there's a distinguishment to be made because in the first half, I thought the Raptors played pretty good defense, holding the Lakers only 16 points in the second quarter, a lot of good rim contests. I thought everybody up and down the roster was sort of pretty committed to shutting off the paint for the Lakers, who also obviously don't shoot the three well, right? So they shot 7 of 33. They actually shot worse on the three than the Raptors. But then again, it's not a surprise. Again, they started 4 minimum guys, right? Honestly, I'm looking up and down this roster. I think the only two guys who don't make the minimum who played for the Lakers tonight were Westbrook, who obviously makes the max, and then Lonnie Walker, who makes 6. Everyone else on that team is minimum guys. So, like, yeah, it's not too much of a surprise that they shot poorly from three. And plus, they're just not a good three-point shooting team anyway. But, yeah, like, you know, I thought the Raptors were able to commit themselves defensively, and they were able to get out and transition and score. And to be honest, it wasn't even any arguments with the offense. They had 70 points at halftime. I think that's their highest total this season. But again, when you watch the film, you're just like, so many missed opportunities. Like, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I'm saying this. I think the Raptors could have scored 80 by half. I think they could have scored 85 by half. There were so many open looks. And some of that is a really good ball movement. Some of that's like good persistence in terms of running out in transition. But, you know, it was easy and they were missing shots. I thought in the third quarter, that's where the Raptors offense kind of stalled. The Raptors actually lost that quarter 28-27. And it was real interesting to watch because whether the Lakers were tightening up with their zone or the Raptors just didn't really prepare for it, they actually kind of struggled against the zone in terms of just not even getting good looks in the first place. They were still getting things like getting on the offensive glass, still getting things like running on transition. Those things are, you know, pretty consistent for the Raptors and they always generate offense. But at the same time, you just wanted to see them beat the defense, and beating the zone shouldn't have been as hard as it was. I think part of it is the Raptors starting Christian Coloco, right? And obviously, you know, that means he's out there for the start of the third quarter. The Lakers starting that zone. One of the ways the Raptors like to beat the zone, and it's a pretty normal response to a zone, is to have somebody flash into the middle of the zone around the free throw line area, catch the pass, and then either make a cut and then make the next pass or, you know, swing the ball opposite side or at least screen for the ball. But basically, you really need essentially like whoever your 5-man is usually needs to come in and just like break the lines a little bit. Maybe you're 4, but mostly you're 5, right? And I think that was just a huge struggle for Christian. Like, at the first time, I don't think he got the ball that often, but even when he did get the ball occasionally, he would get pushed out of his spot. So he'd be like, you know, standing with his hands up around, at the free throw line. And then as soon as he catches the ball while midair, he kind of gets pushed out to almost at the three-point line, whether by the defender or just by his own sort of caution and trying to catch the pass safely. And they weren't actually making some of those connective plays that you really need against the zone. And that led to a lot of late clock bailouts from Fred or late clock bailouts from Pascal. Like, that's always going to tank your percentages to some degree. But, you know, to be honest, like, I do wonder, you know, it's not to say you bench Christian for that, because to be honest, you could have done pretty much whatever you wanted here tonight and still got the win. But I think in a normal scenario, when you're in a closer game and that this kind of thing happens, I think you probably have to put either you reassign it so that you have Scotty in the middle of the zone, because I really like that idea, because Scotty can hit from the mid-range. He can drive and make a score, you know, if the defense doesn't rotate fully over to him. And he definitely can make the right pass the next one out. So I actually like to see Scotty in the middle of that zone. If you don't want to put Pascal in the middle of that zone, I get it, right? Obviously, you know, you want him initiating at the top. Okay, that's cool. But there is an option there. And to be honest, like, you could also make a sub. Like, I do think that, for example, it would have been a lot harder to zone against the Raptor side if they had Gary in place of Christian in the starting lineup, right? And obviously that is one option for the Raptors. They used to use that all the time with Gary in there. And now, obviously, the last couple of games, they've had Christian, which I'm fine with. I get that Nick is trying to experiment to see what a real center looks like with this group. And they're sort of riding through some of Christian's mistakes. And he's competing. By the way, he's got four blocks tonight. Ended up fouling out. But honestly, I think he made a lot of good contests. And that's ultimately what you want to see from him. But at the same time, could you zone if it was Gary in place of Christian? Because that means Scotty's now at the five. He's now in the middle of the floor. And then, of course, you have more shooters on the floor to sort of capitalize on that zone. Or if you still want to go with a big, maybe use Thad Young in the middle of that zone. Thad obviously can be your small ball five. It wasn't like the Lakers were dominating at the rim or anything like that. So it's not like you needed that much rim protection. And you could have used Thad as the playmaker in, here and there. But again, I say this with the caveat that, like, that is – you know, how you would manage this game if it was like super contested and every possession really mattered. The reality is that the Lakers were so shorthanded tonight, not every possession mattered. Like, the Raptors can ride through their mistakes and just continue to score and continue to rack up points and expect the Lakers to miss lots of opportunities and lose the ball and then run the other way and score. Like, you know, I just don't think that they had any issues with this game. However, you do wonder, because you do start to form some bad habits, right, in games like this, right? If you consistently play these low-level competitions where it's just so, you know, uncompetitive, you can sometimes build up some bad habits in terms of how you're sort of beating it. So, you know, I would have liked to see the Raptors handle the zone better. And even, you know, in a coaching sense, right, like, if you go into halftime, I don't know what Nick really said to the Raptors, because, you know, obviously I'm not down there, you know, it's a private space, but they're up 70 to 47, right, at halftime. There's not much you have to really even say from a coaching perspective. Like, clearly, you know, you're doing good enough. However, the one thing, if you were to say one thing, and it'd be weird if you didn't say anything at halftime, you're just really just setting the tone too low. But if there's one thing you would say, it's like, hey, they just zoned us for like 20 minutes. You know, here's a little refresher. Here's what we're supposed to do in each spot, right? This is the type of zone they're playing, a little 2-3 zone. Here are the spots that we want to catch the ball at, and just here's the couple plays that we can make, right? Whether we're going to screen and try to get someone going downhill and then, you know, forcing them to rotation and kicking it out and all that stuff, or we're going to pass the ball into the middle and he's either going to make one dribble and go hard towards the basket, pull the help over, find the dunker, kick it to the corner, whatever you really want to do. Like, there's lots of things, but you would think there would have been a refresher at halftime. Just to like, hey, this is the only thing, right? You're doing great, boys. Just this one thing you want to do. And that, you know, I don't know. I guess it never came. I guess it never came, or the Raptors never got the message. But execution out of the zone, which against the zone was just genuinely ugly. And that kind of made this game, even though obviously the Raptors win, they win comfortably. There was no doubt about this game. Lots of guys had great stats. There's nothing to be negative about this game about. But at the same time, when you're thinking about getting the Raptors back into a place where they're competitive every single night and they're able to not just beat the Lakers but beat some tougher opponents as well, you're going to need this kind of attention to detail, right? You can't come out here against the zone and look this bad when you look at who was available for the Lakers. Like, you would have really liked to see the Raptors come out and make good adjustments and consistently beat it, which that's my only gripe, is that, like, they didn't do that. However, you know, they made plenty of good plays. You know, I thought the ball movement was pretty strong, especially in the first half. You know, it's open corner threes for good shooters. OG, Fred, Gary, even Chris, who's shooting a decent percentage. Like, these guys just weren't knocking them down. And to that degree, I'm just like, well, you know, I guess you just had to figure that rebounds, right? Like, what are you supposed to really do about that? You can say, well, practice more. I'm telling you, these guys get into the gym every single day and go through shooting workouts. And I would say, like, at least half of every single person's workout is three-point shooting, right? The emphasis is there, right? You know, obviously, the way Nick obsesses about shooting, he's literally written a book about it. He's designed a basketball specifically to teach shooting, right? Like, you know, he's obviously focused on it. The Raptors have installed those gigantic, you know, NOAA analytics system boards on the, you know, I guess they already had NOAA analytics in terms of the cameras, but then now they have the board tracking in the back as well. Like, it was a big multi-million dollar addition to the facilities this past season. So you know they're invested in the shooting, and they're taking good shots. So you just got to figure that they're going to eventually knock these down at a more consistent rate, because, you know, in a game this uncompetitive, like, you really do need to look at some of their finer details. And that's not even a fine detail. Like, the Raptors' jump shooting is genuinely really bad this season. But in a game like this, I'm just curious because it wasn't like they were taking bad shots. They actually took really good shots throughout. And, yeah, you know, you just, I guess you just got to knock them down. But it was nice to see Freddie getting into the lane. It was good to see Chris Boucher being active. You know, a lot of missed shots in this one means a lot of Chris Boucher opportunities to get offensive rebounds for putbacks, you know, following up plays in transition. You know, I thought OG, outside of three-point shooting, you know, had a decent game inside of the arc. A lot of plays in transition, had a nice turnaround jumper, which was nice to see, or a little mid-range pull-up jumper, which was nice to see. Played good defensively, as you would normally expect from him. Not as much counting stats from him, but I thought he did affect a lot of possessions. And, yeah, you know, I think it's just more attention to detail on the finer things. Like, for example, with Gary, right? Gary, a decent offensive night, 18 points and 6 to 15 shooting. Obviously, you like to see the percentage a little higher, but he drew some fouls, you know, had a four-point play, although I think he missed a free throw. But still, like, you know, I think Gary played his role. But at the same time, you look at some of these moments where, you know, and these are just small things, right? But when Gary first came in, he took two quick fouls. One where he swiped in, got caught reaching on Russell Westbrook, shooting a three. So he fouled him for three, which is already pretty bad. But it's also like, why would you do that to Westbrook? You just let him shoot that. Well, not even just let him shoot that, but at least contest in a way that's you're not gonna get called for a foul. Rather than that, you swipe in and you give up three free throws, right? Like, that's objectively a bad defensive play. Or, like, you know, Kendrick Nunn's driving in transition and Gary doesn't position himself well and he takes the foul. Stuff like that, right? And I think Gary had a bad foul, I think, in the fourth quarter as well. Second half as well. There's someone else who was shooting a jumper and Gary fouled him. But, like, stuff like, oh, no. It was Schroeder at the top of the floor. The Raptors were in the Lakers were in the bonus, and I think Gary just swiped in at him for no reason at the top of the floor, just gambling for a steal or something, and gave up the foul and gave us some free throws. Like, these are the smaller details that it would matter in a against a competitive opponent, but didn't matter here. But still, those are the things that you want to sharpen up. You see from the team, and then yeah, the zone coverage, because you know these are the things that you will need to do well eventually. I think in terms of the other players, you know, Christian's fouls, I get it. Like, he really is getting short, the short end of the stick for a lot of these plays. Like, he was essentially called for seven fouls in this game because one of them was overturned as Nick Nurse reviewed it. He had a very clean block, I think, against Westbrook on a drive, which was originally called a foul, but upon review, it was correctly overturned. He had another play where he blocked someone out of the basket, but it was called a foul. Obviously, the Raptors lost their challenge, but I think they challenged that one. It could have been overturned as well. But, you know, also at the same time, when you watch some of the replays, like, yes, he's not getting the benefit of the doubt, but he's also, like, just a half step slow in some of those rotations. So he is still bumping them. Maybe it's not up high because he doesn't always, like, reach in or sort of, like, bring his hands down. He's more or less disciplined with the verticality stuff, but he is bumping them with his body because he is just a half step late and stuff like that. Like, he can be a little bit sharper. Like, I don't want to just say it's just the officials giving him a hard time. I mean, he's definitely getting a hard foul or a hard whistle. There's no question about that, but I think it's like 50% the whistle, 50% his defensive discipline, maybe even 25% whistle, 75% defensive discipline. He's just got to get a little quicker, a little sharper with the reads, which is totally normal for a rookie who's starting right away. But, you know, I liked his energy. He didn't give up anything around the basket, contested everything. That's essentially his role. So I think he did that fine. You would like to see him convert at all around the basket or have some ability to play against his own. But again, these are more next level things for him to do. Right now, the very basic and things that you really need from him is to contest everything. He did that. I like seeing what Scotty did in this game. It's strange to look at a minus 13 on his box score in 31 minutes. He's the only starter who was a net negative in today's game. I think some of that has to do with the fact that Scotty was left out with the second stringers or maybe even third stringers in the fourth quarter there when the Lakers are sort of making a bit of a push. But overall, I think, you know, Scotty played in a very positive way. Definitely was very active on the glass, 17 rebounds. I think this is, did he have 17 rebounds against the Magic as well? So he's really, you know, rebounding the ball well. He's looking to push, looking to run. It's a good sign that his knee and ankles are okay when he's able to do all that stuff. Hopefully it remains that way, but you know, obviously the signs have been really positive. Like, there's no way you're grabbing 17 rebounds as a wing if your knees and ankles are you know, at all hampered. So it was good to see that. I thought four assists kind of sells him a little bit short. He did make a couple of really nice plays, made a couple of, you know, nice extra passes. I thought Scotty did a really good job of finding OG on some open corner threes that he was able to knock down. He had another play in the fourth quarter where he fed Pascal, who had gotten ahead of the play and sealed a small defender, high-low feed. And I think Pascal got fouled but couldn't convert the and one. So there's a couple of missed assists there from Scotty. So I wouldn't look at the four and not think that he made a good play in terms of his playmaking. I think especially against the zone, right, it was interesting because the Raptors actually started the third quarter with a couple of missed possessions, a little empty just because of you know, the lack of playmaking on that front. They subbed out Christian, which put Scotty at the five, and then Scotty got into the middle of that zone exactly at the same spot that Christian had been unable to sort of make the next play from or even catch the ball from. And he was able to immediately throw a cross-court pass to OG, who missed another corner three. So, yeah, I think it was a good game connectivity-wise from Scotty. You know, he got a little sloppy with a couple turnovers, but again, that you can say that about Pascal or Fred, who are their main ball handlers. So, you know, I thought it was a positive game from him. It's a good sign. Once again, physically, he looks sharp. And, you know, the last couple of games here, he's really gotten himself into a nice groove where he's not necessarily looking to take over the offense. He picks his spots, whether it's in the post for a little jump hook, which he did twice back-to-back, and you know, I think in the second half, or it's, you know, the little mid-range jumper for him, or it's transition stuff. But for the most part, he's looking to – his energy is a lot higher, right? Obviously, the rebounding is good. Making extra passes is good. He's looking to commit on defense as well. And that's what Nick really wants to see from him. Not necessarily in like, hey, go out there and be a garbage man, but just like go out there and like make winning plays, be energetic, connect the play. We know what Scotty can do. This is a role that he was very good at last season, very comfortable in this role last season. And, you know, it's good to see him have that base while also then choosing more and more spots where he feels comfortable to score offensively or to play make offensively. But even that, I mean, I think Scotty's been quoted, I think most recently in an article with Michael Grange, where he said, like, scoring is not necessarily my focus, right? And so if that's the case, then, yeah, 13 points on 6 of 12 shooting, it's efficient, and there's no real arguments about it. So I thought he had a decent game. And then, yeah, you know, I saw some complaints about Raptors only running an 8-man rotation in this game. I mean, okay, so sure, I guess you could have run a 9-man rotation, but, like, 8 is fairly standard. The guys didn't play that many minutes. You know, you might say, well, it was a blowout. You could have turned it to the bench earlier. Okay, sure. But, I mean, if you put yourself in Nick Nurse's shoes and your team's, you know, not in a great place, even though obviously you are still above 500 now, but, like, you know, you do want to ensure that you don't want to drop a game to the Lakers, I wouldn't necessarily empty my bench that early. Like, he did it, like, 5 minutes left into the fourth quarter. Could have been a little bit earlier, but, you know, at the same time, when you brought the bench in, like, they did bleed like 10 points right away. So, you know, I think there might have been one or two, like, nervous moments on that front. But, yeah, I mean, 8-man rotation is normal, I would say. Again, if you want to see a 9-man rotation, sure. Like, but we're kind of nitpicking on that front. At least this is one of my feeling. Maybe people disagree, that's fine, but it didn't really have that much of an issue with the minute distributions. I think, you know, giving Fred some run to, you know, shake off some rust, I think is solid, or at least allow him to find some rhythm. You know, I think he was able to do some of that tonight. It wasn't a perfect game by any means, but, you know, a step in the right direction. There's no doubt about that. You know, I seeing Scotty continue to take steps. That's good to see, right? He can play this role on a consistent basis, if not a little bit more. So that's, you know, that's a positive in my books. Pascal just rolling, coming back off of injury. He's asked for more minutes. So him playing 32 before sitting, you know, half of the fourth quarter makes sense to me. And, you know, Thad, Chris, Gary off the bench, those are the three guys that guarantee get minutes. Like, who did you necessarily want to see come into the game earlier? Delano, Malachi, Jeff Down, Champagne? Like, yeah, you know, did you want to see Kem in this game? You could have. I mean, honestly, any of those guys could have contributed. I hear the argument in terms of just, like, it's the Lakers without LeBron and AD and, like, you could have done whatever you wanted. I get it, but I didn't mind. It's fine. And you know, when the third unit guys came in, did they take their chances? I think kind of is the answer. I don't know. Like, Malachi had a couple of jumpers. I guess that's it. But wasn't that notable, I suppose. Defensive, I probably want to see them a little bit more organized. But, I mean, listen, it is what it is. So, it's a nice routine, easy win. No real complaints. Get better at zone offense. Be a little sharper on that front. And, yeah, continue to get in the reps to shoot more threes, which I'm sure they're already doing. But, yeah, I mean, if the Raptors could knock down some threes, like, it would solve so much. And I'm not even talking about, like, unrealistic things. Like, I need Thad to hit 10 threes for me or something like that. I need Fred, OG, Gary to just knock down their shots. Those are the three shooters for the Raptors, you know, like, And it's not even like we're asking them to shoot like off the dribble stuff outside of Fred. Like it's mostly catch and shoot. It's mostly in the corners. It's, you know, sometimes up top, but these are open looks coming out of double teams off of strong ball movement. Guys got to knock them down though. Right. And so obviously didn't hurt them here, but against a tougher opponent, like again, like when you played the Celtics, if the Raptors had good shot making in that one for some of those open looks, you would have probably won that game, right? So that is the difference between, you know, some of the more difficult opponents. But again, the Lakers tonight, I just, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It was it was tough. I'm sure a lot of people had this game circle on their calendar. Obviously, lots of people are fans of LeBron, fans of the Lakers. They're a big brand. You know, that's the one time they come to town. And then when you see the lineup and you see that it's Toscano Anderson and Bryant in place of in place of LeBron and AD, like, I'd be a little sick, man. I feel like a lot of people took a loss on this game, but it is what it is. So anyway, to wrap up your three stars, first star, I'm going to give it to, I'll give it to Pascal. 25, 10 and 7, 2 steals, 10 of 20 from the field. Again, there were just a couple of plays in the second half where I thought that the offense broke down and he had to sort of force and generate and create. And it did look a little forced at times, but I mean, I think that's more of a breakdown for the offense. So, you know, it's not entirely just a missed shot by Pascal. I think it's also just like, you know, the team didn't organize to get the shot that they wanted. But, you know, still, I mean, 10 of 20 is an efficient number. There's no real issue with that. So your second star is going to go to Fred. 25 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. Again, I liked seeing him getting into the lane and being effective in the paint, which is nice to see, whether that was him drawing help and kicking into the corners, which he did a good job of, as he usually does on his drives, because he's mostly looking to pass on his drives. Like, I know people fixate on the blocks. It's fine. Obviously, it is discouraging to see him get it blocked all the time. And you're like, why are you shooting at the rim if you're 5'10"? But at the same time, like, most of the time he's driving in there to kick out. So, and he's already among one of the highest shares in terms of, like, people who drive. Shooting versus kicking out, he kicks out at a higher share than, like, almost every NBA guard who drives, like, you know, 10 times a game, basically, right? So he is doing that. And, you know, who knows? I mean, I'm not holding out hope necessarily that he's going to be a super effective player in the two-point range, whether that's at the basket or in the mid-range or in the short floater range or whatever. But, you know, because, again, it's been many years of this, but tonight he was good at it. And, you know, I'm sure for him he feels a little bit of relief, even though obviously it came against, you know, lower competition. And then your third star, I give it to Scotty. I think there's a chance to give it to OG here, but I mean, he was mostly finishing plays. It was fine. He didn't shoot the ball that effectively. I like the way Scotty played. 13 points, 17 rebounds, 4 assists. You know, shot 50% from the field, 31 minutes, no arguments. You know, easy top three tonight. And then your Gerald Henderson Award winner. I didn't think anyone on the Lakers really burned the Raptors, so I'm going to give this third star to Herbie. I'm going to give the Gerald Henderson Award to Herbie. Listen, every single time Dennis Schroeder is in town to play the Toronto Raptors at Scotiabank Arena, it is a must-see game. And I'm not talking about you got to watch it on TV. You got to be in the arena for that. Like, I'm sure the ticket prices, I think I saw someone, like, the average price was like $380. Yeah, there's no LeBron, there's no AD, but Herbie made it worth it, bro. Every single time he had to pronounce Schroeder, it was so funny. And Schroeder was, you know, decently involved, had 18 points. you know, got to the free throw line. Obviously, they usually say your name when you go to the free throw line, but I can't even do it justice. It was like, Sither. Like it's amazing. There's some rolling action going on. There is some like genuine German pronunciation going on. There is what Herbie usually does with the international names going on. And yeah, it was just fun to see. Also, the underrated plot, not just with Schroeder, because we know that with the Lakers, right? Or we know that with Schroeder and Herbie. We've seen this for multiple years back when, you know, he used to play for the Hawks or OKC or whatever. Like, you know, he's been in the league a long time. So we've seen this joke. But it was also quite funny that he kept calling Troy Brown Jr., who, again, you know, he's not like a super notable player. It's not like oh, man, my favorite player is Troy Brown Jr. But Herbie just kept calling this man Tony Brown Jr. the whole game. I noticed it early, and I was like, hey, well, that's weird. That's not his name. You know, and yeah, he just kept calling him Tony. It's now throwing me off, too. But he's been in the league 4 seasons, man. It was just funny because he said it like the whole game. He called him Tony. It's very similar to when Kawhi, after hitting the game winner, he's like, yeah, you know, I saw Tony Rozier a step late defensively, so I just pulled up over him. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe just that's the new joke. We're just calling everyone Tony now. But Herbie is going to get the Gerald Henderson Award winner because he was genuinely very entertaining for this game. Yeah, so anyway, good win for the Raptors. Now you got to take care of business once again against the Magic, then take care of business once again against the Magic. And even though no one's going to give them that much credit for these wins, because, you know, to be honest, like, the Raptors are a level above these kind of teams, but at the same time, build some good habits, get guys out of their funks, and just kind of build some positive momentum, bank these wins. These all count the same. And, you know, look to improve. But good result here today. Nothing really much to nitpick. Yeah. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. You know, and yeah, listen to the Raptor Show. We'll be back every day, Monday to Friday, obviously. And, you know, speak to you then.